Lakeland family and guests, thank you for connecting with us this morning. I'm so excited to open God's Word and to continue our study in the book of Psalms. So I invite you to turn to Psalm 93 as we continue looking at this exciting and encouraging psalm together this morning. Psalm 93. You might be surprised to learn that the United States of America once had a king, at least someone who thought he was our king. On September 17, 1859, Joshua Abraham Norton, a resident of San Francisco, California, who became discontented with the legal and political structures of that day, self-proclaimed and announced that he was now Norton the First, Emperor of the United States of America. Norton dressed the part of a king, wearing an elaborate uniform. He issued numerous imperial decrees and even printed his own money. For 21 years, up until his death in 1880, Norton pretentiously reigned as king over the United States. Yet Norton's self-proclaimed kingship was an empty message. Norton had no formal power. He had no real authority. He was in control of nothing. He amused the people of San Francisco during his day, but he was no true king. As we continue to deal with this global crisis, the outbreak of COVID-19, our country and our world doesn't need to hear an empty message, but they need to hear the true message about the one true king. And as we begin studying Psalm 93 last Sunday together, we learned that the main message of this psalm is found in the first verse, where the psalmist declares that our God reigns as king over all of the earth. He emphatically declares in this psalm that the God of the Bible, Yahweh, and Yahweh alone, no other God, no other being, is the true king of this world. And as our true king, God is the ruler who is sovereignly in control of all things in our world. We learned and discovered from this passage that the psalmist goes on to encourage us by describing several characteristics about God's kingship, about his rule of our world. We learned, first of all, last Sunday that our God rules majestically in the first verse of this psalm. That word majesty, it points to God's splendor, his magnificence. It highlights the fact that our God is greater than all others. And it ultimately calls us to be a people who recognize his high position, his supremacy above all others, so that we will be faithful to worship him. Our God is a great king, deserving of great worship. We are to worship him not just in favorable times, but in all times, even in a time of a global and national emergency. We should worship our great king. God rules majestically. We also saw in verse 1 and in verses 3 and 4 of this psalm that our God rules mightily. Our God is not just all talk, but he is a God who is powerful. The Bible tells us that our God is almighty. There's nothing that is hard for our God. He has no weaknesses. He has no vulnerabilities. Our God, in the way that he governs, he does it with strength, with power, with might. Nothing in this world, even in a time of a global pandemic, is out of control because our mighty God is always in control. So our God rules from heaven above over our earth. Majestically, he rules mightily. And this morning, we're going to see two additional characteristics that the psalmist highlights, which encourages us about how great our God is and the way that he rules. So let's read the passage together, and then we'll discuss those two remaining characteristics of God's kingship this morning. So take your Bible, and let's read Psalm 93 together. The psalmist says, "The Lord reigns. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord has clothed and girded himself with strength. The world is firmly established. It will not be moved. Your throne is established from of old. You are from everlasting. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their pounding waves. More than the sounds of many waters, than the mighty breakers of the sea, the Lord on high is mighty. Your testimonies are fully confirmed. Holiness befits your house, O Lord, forevermore." Let's pray together. Father, we're so grateful for your word. Thank you for revealing yourself to us through your holy scriptures. Thank you for preserving it for us today so that we would have it to read and to learn the truths that you want us to know about yourself and what you call us to do in response to the truth you've revealed. God, may this psalm, as we learn more about your kingship and the way you rule, may it encourage us, may it comfort us. God, may it bring joy to us during a time of calamity. God, give us peace. Give us security in our hearts. We pray as we study your word together, and we ask it all in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So Psalm 93 teaches us that our God reigns as king over all of the earth. And the way he rules majestically, he rules mightily. And we learn in verse 2 that our God also rules eternally. Look at what the psalmist says in verse 2. "Your throne is established from of old. You are from everlasting." In verse 2, the psalmist speaks about the throne of God. Back in antiquity, a throne was a symbol of a king's kingship and of his authority. And here in this verse, the throne of God, it pictures for us God's kingship and God's authority. The phrase that the throne is established from of old tells us that God's rule is nothing new, it's nothing recent. The word tells us that God's kingship, it extends back to long ago from the remote past. Even before this world ever existed, God was ruler. He was the one who was enthroned. And to say that the throne is established, it is the psalmist's way of declaring that God's rule, his kingship, his governance of all things is permanent. It's enduring. It's firm. It's stable. And ultimately, the throne of God, the rule of God, is established and firm because of the timelessness of God. Look at what the psalmist says in the latter part of verse 2. He says, "Your throne is established from of old. You are from everlasting." This word everlasting teaches us that our God is a timeless God. Our God has a limitless past and a limitless future. When we speak about God and we talk about God, we cannot speak about God's beginning and we cannot speak about God's end. Those things do not pertain to God. They're not true of God. He has no beginning and he has no end. You'll remember in Moses' encounter with God in Exodus chapter 3, verses 13 through 14, and God calls Moses to lead his people out of Egypt, and he's going to be the one who speaks to Pharaoh, the one who speaks to Israel. Moses had a question. He said, "Now they may say to me, 'What is his name? What is your name, God?'" And this is what God says to him. God says to Moses, "I am who I am." And he said, "Thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, 'I am has sent me to you.'" So to Moses, God reveals himself as the self-existing God. He is the God who exists in and of himself. When you go all the way to the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, chapter 1, We learn in verse 4 of chapter 1 that our God describes himself as the one who is, who was, and who is to come. That is, our God has always existed in eternity past. He exists in the present, and he will be the one who always exists into eternity future. God, by his nature, is eternal. He's timeless. He's no newcomer when it comes to ruling all things. He's not a rookie, so to speak, when it comes to being in control. He's always been king, and he will always be king. God's authority has no start, and it has no finish. Every 4 years, our country elects a president. This coming November, we will be going to the polls, and we'll be casting our vote as to who will be our leader for the next 4 years. At the most, a U.S. president can serve 2 4-year terms. After 8 years of being elected to office, his government, it comes to an end, and he is replaced by another leader. Our divine king, he will never be replaced by another. Our God who rules from heaven above, his government will never come to an end. His kingship is not up for vote. There is no one strong enough who can challenge him for the throne and dethrone him. His kingship has no term limits. God is eternal by his nature, and the psalmist wants us to understand because of God's eternal nature, that means his rule is eternal. It's endless. It is forever and ever. The eternal nature of God's rule assures us that there will never be a time that we have to ask this question, Lakeland family. Is our God still in charge? Is our God still on his throne? Pandemics may occur. Nations may wage war. Political uprisings may happen. Natural disasters may destroy. Persecutions may break out. Sufferings may increase. And it may seem to some people that God is not in control, but God has declared to us in his word, and he assures us that he's always on his throne and that he will always be seated as the one who is the ultimate king over all things, especially over our world. So as a church, Lakeland family, let's do this together. Let's memorize Psalm 93, verse 2. Let's commit that to our hearts and our minds. Let's write that down on a note card and carry it with us everywhere we go this week. Let's put it in our notes on our iPhones so that we can remember it and look back to it to keep it before us. Let's recite it together as a family so that during this time of crisis where everything is not normal for us at this point, and there are so many concerns upon the hearts of so many, let's let the Holy Spirit use this verse to remind us that our God, no matter what it looks like in this world, is on his throne, and he is ruling, and that will always be true because our God rules eternally. So let's commit Psalm 93, verse 2, to memory, and let's also share that verse with others. So many of our family members, our friends, our coworkers, our neighbors, they need to be encouraged during this time. Let's share this verse on social media. Put it on your Facebook, Instagram, Twitter pages, and let's reassure people that no matter what it looks like, the truth of God's word is that he is in control of what's going on in our world, even during the midst of this crisis. Our God, he rules majestically. Our God, he rules mightily. Our God rules eternally. And then last of all, in verse 5, the psalmist tells us one other characteristic about God's rule. Our God rules righteously. In verse 5, The psalmist relays to us a final important truth about God's rule. He says, your testimonies are fully confirmed. Holiness befits your house, O Lord, forevermore. Here in this verse, the psalmist directs his reader's attention to the testimonies of God. In this passage, the testimonies of God most likely is a synonym that is referring to God's law, which he gave to his people, whereby he had a covenant relationship with him. It's his self-revelation, the scriptures, so to speak, which were given to Israel. We could call this the Word of God. We would think of this today as our Bible, including all of God's promises and instructions, his commandments, his ordinances, and his warnings that are contained within. The testimonies of God, God's word, the scriptures, the Bible, the psalmist says, is fully confirmed. This is a word that means trustworthy, reliable, faithful. In the context of Psalm 93, this verse implies that God, in the way that he rules us perfectly. He rules us righteously. Our God, according to Psalm 95, the first part of this verse, he is a king who always says what is right. Because his testimonies are fully confirmed, everything that God testifies to us about his will for us, we can trust it because it is truthful and because it is right. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 tells us that all scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. That passage of scripture teaches us that God's word teaches us what is right. It rebukes us when we're not right. It corrects us on how to get right, and it trains us on how to stay right. God always says what is right in the scriptures, so we can trust what God tells us as our great king, what he's revealed to us in the Bible. Several years ago, I was traveling with some friends on a bus, and one of my friends, we'll just call him John for this sake of this story, he was sharing a story with all of us. And after he'd finished sharing his story, an older lady who was also on the bus with us, she said to John, she said, John, I don't know whether to believe you or not, because I don't ever know when you are telling the truth. Have you ever known someone like that? They're always trying to get a rise out of some people, and because of that, you don't know whether they're telling you the truth or whether they fabricated something. You don't have to ever ask that question with God. Is God telling me the truth? Because God always tells the truth. It is impossible for God to lie. God is always trustworthy and truthful. And so as our great God and King, we can trust what he has revealed to us in the scriptures. And so during this time of national and global emergency, Lakeland family, what we need to do is we need to believe the word of God and we need to obey the word of God. Lakeland, let's stay in God's word. We're not able to gather together collectively, physically, corporately, as a body of believers at this time. But let's make sure we stay anchored, tied to God's truth, so that during this time, we're reading our Bibles, we're believing what God says, and we're doing what God says. And as the Word of God dwells richly in us daily, and as we gather together still virtually to study the Word of God together, God will exercise his kingship through our hearts because he's perfectly revealed his will to us, which is right for us. So our God, he rules righteously. That means he always says what is right, but it also has a second implication in the latter part of verse 5. Our God not only always says what is right, but our God always does what is right. Look at verse 5 again. The psalmist says, holiness befits your house, O Lord, forevermore. Whether this verse is talking about God's earthly dwelling among his people, the temple where his physical manifestation, his presence was manifested to Israel, whether this is talking about God's heavenly dwelling, the truth is still the same. Wherever God is, that place is holy because our God, by his nature, his essence, he is holy. The scriptures tell us that God is holy, holy, holy. And inherent in this idea of holiness is not only that God is just distinct and he stands in a class all of his own, but also there's this idea of moral purity. God's character is unblemished. God is free from all sin, from all evil. He is blameless in every thought. He's blameless in every decision, every motive, every deed, every action of our God as he rules over our world. It is perfect, righteous in every way. Put simply, our God rules righteously, and that means that he always does what is right. My philosophy professor that I had in seminary had an opportunity to preach in chapel one week. And I remember a story that he shared with us in his message. He was traveling home on the interstate late one evening. It was very dark, and he could see in his rearview mirror that there was a car quickly approaching that was driving very fast, weaving in and out of traffic. And as that car continued to get closer and closer to him and pulled up alongside of him to pass, he recognized who the driver was. As he looked over, he saw that the driver of that car was his dad. And he said in that moment, he did not know why his dad was driving that way. And though he didn't know the reason for it, he knew there was a good reason for why his dad was driving that way, because he knew his dad. He knew the character of his father. Lakeland family and guests, we may not understand what God is doing during our day. I'm not a prophet. You're not prophets. We don't understand the mind of God in everything that takes place. And what the scripture teaches us, we don't have to. We don't have to know why God is doing what he's doing or why he's allowing what is happening to take place. All we need to understand is that we know our Father. And because we know he's a good, good Father, and because we know he's a righteous King, we can trust him even though we don't understand. Even in the midst of this crisis, globally and nationally, we can trust that our God is doing what is right because we know his character. He is our King who always does what is right. He is governing our world with integrity, and we can trust him. A simple prayer that many of us need to offer up to God is something like this. Dear God, I admit I've had many concerns about what is happening, and I don't understand it. But because I know who you are, I want to confess to you that I trust you, and I know that you're doing what is right. Our God reigns over the whole earth. He rules our earth majestically, mightily, eternally, and righteously. Last week, our oldest son, Titus, had to have some procedures done at a local pediatric surgical center. He had to have tubes put in both of his ears, and he had to have his adenoids removed. He had been having a lot of problems, and so these were needed procedures. While I was in the waiting room as Titus was having these surgeries, A nurse at the facility stopped by the waiting room just to check in, to say hello, and to have a conversation with me. And before long, as we were talking, the topic of our conversation shifted to what's on all of our minds. Just this viral outbreak, COVID-19, and all the questions surrounding it. And in the course of our conversation, this nurse confessed to me that she was struggling to make sense of this viral outbreak, this global pandemic, and how God factored into the situation. And with that open door, I walked right through and I was able to share with her the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lakeland, guests who are watching with us, all of you who are connected at this point, we need to understand that people need hope during this time. And they need to be pointed to the one who is the only sure source of hope. That's our one true God who is King over all the earth. And I was able to point this nurse to that truth and share with her the good news of what God's done for us in Christ Jesus. COVID-19 is a virus that is spreading throughout the world. Some people will contract this disease and some people will not. But the Bible tells us that there's an infection that has spread to all men. And that infection is sin. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that infection, the Bible tells us, it gives us the penalty of death. Its end leads to death. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. But our God has been so good to us that though sin is a reality for us all, that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, into this world 2,000 years ago. Our God came into this world, became a man. He lived a perfect life and never sinned. And he gave his life up on the cross, dying for our sin, taking our judgment upon himself. He suffered for our sins. He was put into the grave, and on the third day, he arose from the dead, and God raised his son up, declaring to the world through his resurrection that this is indeed my son, the one who has pleased me, the one who has conquered sin and death, the enemies of mankind. And if we're willing to turn from our sin, the Bible says, and we're willing to repent, acknowledge to God we're sinners, and turn from that, and to cling to Jesus, to confess our need for him to be our Lord and Savior and invite him into our life to lead us from this day forward. The Bible tells us God will forgive our sins. He will cleanse our hearts of all unrighteousness. He'll bring us into a right relationship with him, and he'll give us the gift of abundant and eternal life. That is the message that this world needs to hear. That is the message that our country needs to hear. That if we want to know this Creator God who is King over our earth, he's made a way for us to know him. What we need more than healing from COVID-19 is we need healing from sin. And we need to point people to Jesus during this time. Lakeland family, let's do that faithfully. And if you're a guest with us this morning and you've never made that decision to trust Christ personally, I want to give you an opportunity before we have this time of response and we sing and worship another song. I want to invite you to bow with me, and I'm going to lead us in a prayer. There's nothing magical about these words. It's just a message to God from your heart that you mean, and you're asking God to give you this gift of salvation that's found only in Jesus. So if God's working on your heart and you want to know him in a personal relationship, I invite you to pray a prayer like this with me. Would you please bow with me? Dear God, I acknowledge that you are the one true God, that you are the King who reigns over this world. And I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I have fallen short of your glory. that I have disobeyed you. And I'm willing at this point in my life, in the best way I know how, to repent of my sins, to turn from living life my own way. And I confess that I believe Jesus Christ is your Son, that he lived the life for me that I cannot live, that he died the death that I deserve, and that he was raised to life forevermore. And I want to personally receive him as my Lord, as my King, to come into my life, to lead me, and I want to follow him from this day forth forever. Oh God, help me to live for you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer with us, we want to connect with you. We want to help you start off your walk with God so that you can begin to grow in your relationship with him. So please call our office, send us an email, go to our church website, and touch base with us, because we want to help you on this awesome journey of walking with Jesus Christ. So Lakeland family guests, let's continue our time of worship as we have this time of response and we worship our God who reigns over all the earth.